Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers winning streak is over. We're going to talk about Walker Buehler's struggles, Mookie Betts' continued struggles at the plate, and whether it's okay to boo Kenley Jansen now that he's a Brave. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now so you never miss a day, because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host, Vince Samperio, but it's just me today. Vince was at the game on Tuesday night and has some stuff to do after the game, so I am running this one solo. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans just like you, and we've both also spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, which is probably a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So, again, please go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening, and let's talk about the Dodgers. So, as I mentioned, the Dodgers lost to the Braves 3-1 on Tuesday night, ending their 7-game winning streak, drops them to 8-3. And, it was an ugly game. Max Fried pitched for the Braves. He is a very good left-hander. Even less good left-handers, the Dodgers struggle with them sometimes, so it wasn't overly surprising that the Dodgers struggled with Max Fried, although they have had some success against him in the past. But in the end, they didn't have any answer for him. He went 7 innings, only faced one over the minimum, I think. And and then Tyler Matzek came in, gave up a run in the 8th inning. Kenley Jansen came in to close it down in the 9th. The Dodgers had Will Smith, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman. And Kenley got them 1-2-3, and it was just overall an ugly game. I want to talk a little bit about Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler went 5 innings, allowed all 3 Braves runs, and he just wasn't very sharp. He wasn't very good, honestly. And opening day, he was fine. It was Colorado. He pitched a pretty good game, and they got the win. His second start, he didn't get the win, but the Dodgers won the game against the Reds. He left with a 3-2 lead that, unfortunately, the Reds tied it up before the Dodgers broke out later in the game. And even that, you know, Buehler gave up a 2-run homer on a kind of a bad pitch. But other than that, he pitched okay. But, you know, this is the third start in a row where the best we can say is that he pitched okay. And Walker Buehler is your opening day starter. He's supposed to be taken over as the ace, and that's not what the Dodgers are expecting. And you can tell by listening to Buehler talking after the game, it's not what Buehler is expecting of himself. Around the locker scrums around the losing pitcher are never a fun thing. I remember being in one of those when it was, what was that guy's name? The guy was on the Padres and then the Reds, and everybody hated him. Then he came to the Dodgers, and he was really bad. His name was Matt Latos. And that dude was just angry all the time, especially when he was sucking, which during his time with the Dodgers was basically all the time. And, Buehler and even Kershaw, even after a win, you know, you can tell Buehler and Kershaw both kind of don't have a lot of patience for, I don't know what the word is. It's not dumb questions, but there are questions that reporters kind of have to ask to get the quote that they're looking for the story they need to write. It's kind of a little game that everybody plays and nobody really acknowledges out loud. I'm going to ask this dumb question, and so you can give this cliche answer, and then we'll all move on with our lives. And, Kershaw and Buehler both sometimes don't have patience for those kind of questions. And, for example, after this, one of the things that a few people noted during the game was that Buehler had changed his windup. Tonight he wasn't going up over his head with his hands during his windup, like he sometimes does. And somebody asked him about that and, asked him the reason for it. And Buehler just said, wasn't getting the results I wanted. And, you know, no, which is fine. And this isn't a criticism of Buehler. It's I kind of find it amusing But, you know, whatever the reason was, maybe there actually was a specific thing that Bueller thought, well, maybe this will help with this thing, whether it's timing or, you know, keeping your shoulder closed or momentum or whatever it is, all those things that matter to a pitcher. Maybe there was a specific reason, but you could tell that Walker Bueller, if there was a reason, he wasn't going to tell the reporters, and maybe there wasn't a reason. Maybe it was just, let's change something and see what happens. I used to pitch and seemed like I changed that specific thing, you know, 100 times during my life as a pitcher. Okay, I'm going to go up over my head this time in my windup. Now I'm not. And, you know, and so maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe it was just, oh, I'm going to try something different. We don't really know. And I think it's funny that Walker Bueller isn't going to tell anybody. But, you know, Dave Roberts said after the game that Bueller's slider wasn't sharp. Bueller kind of acknowledged that too. Basically, he said his cutter was the only pitch that was really working. Somebody asked him about the Braves' aggressive approach, and Bueller kind of snapped at that person, said, well, Darno hit the first pitch for a home run. Yeah, he was aggressive, but there were also a couple 10-pitch at-bats. So, you know, basically he said you can't look at one at-bat and say, oh, that's their approach. And, you know, he's right. But, you know, somebody else pointed out on social media during the game that Walker Bueller's strikeout rate is way down right now. It's at like 6.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. His career is 9.9. And I'm trying to decide if I'm worried about it. And, you know, because Bueller always, April is his worst month when it comes to strikeouts. Strikeouts per 9 in April is 8.3 for his career. May 9.7, June 9.4, July 10.5, August 11.1, September / October 9.8. He gets better as the season goes on. But where he's at right now, only had 2 strikeouts in 5 innings tonight, is still significantly below even where he usually is in April. And that, it might be concerning. Bueller seemed a little bit at a loss in his post-game conversation with the reporters. Basically, you know, you could tell what he's trying to say is it sucks and hopefully it'll get better. And we don't really know if he has a specific plan to make it get better. We don't know if they've identified anything that is causing the issues. We don't really know. And we won't know until, you know, maybe his next start, we'll get some hints. You know, the good thing about Walker Bueller, he still has really good stuff. His fastball maybe isn't quite as good as it has been in the past, but it's still pretty good. And he's still got several pitches. And so any game, his next start, he could go out there and just throw a gem. He could throw 7 hitless innings. And it wouldn't surprise anybody. So it's one of those things where I'm not really worried right now. I definitely hope that he gets it figured out soon and starts doing better. Ultimately, most of the time, I mean, he gave up 3 runs in 5 innings. Most of the time, that's actually going to get you a win when you're pitching for the Dodgers. The fact that he got the loss for that has more to do with the fact that the Dodgers offense couldn't do anything with Max Fried. A lot of the times, 3 runs in 5 innings is going to get you the win. And tonight it didn't, so maybe it's magnified a little bit. But going forward, I think hopefully he's going to get it figured out, because sometimes there will be games that the offense doesn't have it, like tonight. And it would be nice to have the pitching be able to shut down the other team's offense at the same time. So, you know, have one of them old fashioned pitcher's duels. But, you know, so I guess my official stance is not worried about Walker Bueller at this point, but definitely hope he gets it figured out soon. So in a minute, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about somebody else who my level of concern might be a little bit higher about, and who Dave Roberts also mentioned is struggling, and that is Mookie Betts. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. I want to talk to you about BlueNile.com. They are a fine jewelry dealer. Jewelry is a great thing to give as a gift. I have a wife, and I like giving my wife jewelry. I'm not very good at it. And that's one of the things that really appeals to me about BlueNile.com. You know, if you're looking for something for Mother's Day, I know it's a cliche, but I love giving my wife jewelry for Mother's Day or for our anniversary or whatever it is. And it seems like a lot of the times I end up having my wife help me choose. Every once in a while I can surprise her with something, but I'm not confident enough in my jewelry buying expertise. But I know that my wife likes to get jewelry. You know, she's not a big flashy jewelry wearer. I know her style and, you know, kind of that subtle elegance. And BlueNile.com has a bunch of that stuff. A lot of fine jewelry options for every mom, no matter what her taste is, whether she likes diamond earrings or elegant tennis bracelets or, you know, gemstone pendant necklaces, whatever it is. And if you're like me and you're not confident in your buying ability, the cool thing is Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7 who are available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. So whatever you, if you want to get that special someone, some jewelry for Mother's Day or whatever that occasion is, you know, check out Blue Nile. It's really, really cool. This Mother's Day, give mom something she will treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off a purchase of $500. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day, so use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. So you can shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. And don't forget to use code LOCKEDON. All right, I am back here on Locked On Dodgers. Thank you for making us your first listen every day. After you're done with this, for your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. There's recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. So, Mookie Betts. Let's talk about Mookie Betts. This podcast has kind of been taking a Bruno approach to Mookie. We don't talk about Mookie's offensive struggles, but the time has come to talk about Mookie's offensive struggles. He went 0-for-4 again on Tuesday night, struck out against Kenley Jansen in the ninth inning, didn't look comfortable. And, you know, Dave Roberts said, where's that quote? "I can say we've never seen it, but I know that he'll come out of it. He was out of the strike zone tonight. He's going to have to grind and he'll figure it out, or we'll figure it out," Roberts said. And yeah, I mean, it's something that we haven't really seen this from Mookie. He hasn't been this bad for this long. He's had his struggles with the Dodgers. He's had struggles throughout his career at different times, but you know, this seems a little bit more. And if you look, you know, and maybe it is just because it is the beginning of the season. And so, you know, a slump that happens like this in mid-July for a couple weeks, you don't, you know, okay, you move past it. So maybe we have seen him in slumps like this for this period of time, and it just feels magnified because it's the beginning of the season. But if you look at his percentile rankings each year, I mean, in all these things, on Baseball Savant, they have all the expected, you know, the expected WOBA, the expected batting average, expected slugging, expected ISO, expected on-base percentage, all those things. They have a hard hit percentage, strikeout percentage, walk percentage, whiff percentage, speed, outs above average. And all in all, like most years, everything is in the red or at least in the pink, which means really good. You know, his expected OBP is the 98th percentile in 2019. Like 2019 across the board, he was just in the 90s to 100 and everything. 2018 also. In 2020 with the Dodgers, he's in the red and the pink most of the way. And this year, everything is in the blue, which means he is at the bottom of everything. You know, expected WOBA, 16th percentile. Expected batting average, 17th. Expected slugging, 8th percentile, meaning 92% of people are better than him. Expected ISO, 9th percentile. Expected on-base percentage, 35th percentile. And even that's because his walk percentage is actually still pretty good. He's in the 67th percentile, which is bad for him. He's usually up in the 80s or 90s on walk percentage. He's 67th percentile, but that's okay. And his swing and miss is still, it's 71st percentile, which means he's, you know, still one of the better ones in the league, but he's usually in the 90s on that. He doesn't swing and miss. He's swing and miss a lot more this year, and that's leading to so many things. He's just, his hard hit percentage, 18th percentile. Exit velocity, 35th percentile. It's just across the board, Mookie Betts has been really bad so far this year. And, you know, I'm not a hitting coach. I can't identify. I know it looks bad. I don't know what the problem is. I assume that the people working with Mookie will have a better idea what the issue is and be able to help him solve that. I know I can't solve it for him, but what we, it's clear that something needs to get fixed because it has been long enough. During the shortened spring training, you thought, okay, well, yeah, he's been bad in spring training, but that's okay. He'll, you know, hopefully he'll turn it on around the time the season starts. And now he hasn't. And maybe now that we're 2 weeks into the season, so we're getting close to the end of what would have been spring training, maybe now he will have his cuts in, so he's ready to get it going. I don't know. But it's a concern. And I've been wondering, how long can you have Mookie Betts bat leadoff if he's not, especially when you've got Gavin Lux and Trey Turner, both guys who have the same skill set that would make them good leadoff hitters and are having much better seasons. And I'm on record as saying I love having Gavin Lux batting ninth to be kind of that second leadoff man. But I wonder if they ought to, you know, switch them. And maybe it's Trey Turner just bumped up to first, but maybe you leave Turner in the three spot just to stay used to that and just flip-flop Lux and Mookie and put Lux in the leadoff spot. Of course, Lux missed this game on Tuesday with a back issue, and Dave Roberts said he's just day-to-day. We'll see how he feels tomorrow. I don't think they seem too concerned about it, but obviously it's not ideal. But just flip-flopping Lux and Betts. Put Lux at leadoff and Betts ninth. Maybe take some of the pressure off Mookie, whatever it is, and let Lux hit in that spot. It seems like continuing to run, and maybe it's magnified in a game like this, where the Dodgers couldn't hit, they only got one run, and having a guy who's been your worst hitter this year, batting leadoff, getting the most at-bats, you know, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, but it makes a lot more sense when you're scoring eight runs a game, because who cares who's batting leadoff? And so it's only on a night like this that we're like, yeah, really could go for somebody who could hit batting leadoff. But, you know, Mookie is, I really do think he's going to figure it out because he's too good a hitter. He's still in his prime. There's no nagging physical issue that we know of. He's obviously not getting old yet. You know, there's no reason that he should be this bad right now. And so I think he's going to figure it out. And maybe it just takes one game of hitting the ball hard three times to kind of flip that switch. I don't know. But right now it's hard to watch. And every once in a while he'll get our hopes up. He'll hit, rip a double down the line or something, hit the ball hard, and we'll think, oh, good, maybe Mookie's breaking out. And then he's not, you know. And he has just been really bad lately, and it's hard. He's 7-for-41 now to start the season. And that's not going to cut it. It's just not. So I love Mookie Betts. He made a great play defensively tonight. He's still trying to contribute to the team, but you know, he's not hitting the ball hard. He's not hitting the ball well, and that's hard too. So whatever the answer is, I wouldn't be surprised if we see him dropped out of the leadoff spot here for a little while until he gets things going. Maybe they won't, but it wouldn't shock me. And whatever it takes to get Mookie Betts going, I'm on board with, because Mookie, when he's right, he is a catalyst like almost nobody else in baseball. He is so good when he's good, and it's worth figuring out, worth waiting for, worth being patient. But it had to be talked about because, you know, the fact is we went too long probably without talking about how good Cody Bellinger's been. And it's just kind of the nature of this podcast. We have a game to talk about every day, and Mookie is hardly ever the story of the game. But, you know, over the course of a couple weeks, it's like, yeah, he's been really bad over and over. And so we kind of had to make time to talk about him. And a game when not very much exciting happened seemed like as good a time as any to talk about the elephant of the room, which is Mookie Betts being really bad so far offensively this season. So hopefully Mookie will get it figured out sooner than later. And we can go back to talking about the awesome things Mookie does, because I really do think he's going to be a big contributor to this Dodgers team this year. And I'm ready for that to start right about now. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about Kenley Jansen. He came in, got the save, and he got some boos on his way in, and some people had some opinions about that. So I'm going to tell you what I think. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Let's talk about Built Bar for a minute. You know how I feel about Built Bar, unless you've never watched or listened before. If that's the case, I'll tell you. I love them. They are delicious and they're healthy. It's a great combination. They are, every Built Bar is covered in chocolate. They're all low calorie, low sugar, low carb, high protein, high fiber, all the good lows, all the good highs, everything you want in a snack. They also have these Built Puffs that are basically chocolate covered marshmallows that are also all those good highs and good lows. It's crazy how they do it. I think it's black magic, or they learned it at Hogwarts or something. But If you don't know what flavor you like, order yourself a mix box. They will send you 9 different flavors. You can try them all out, and then you'll know what you like. So the next time you can order specifically what you like, you're going to find something you like, because they have so many flavors, and there's a lot of really, really good flavors. And so I guarantee you're going to find something you like. All you got to do is go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, I'm back, and I want to talk a little bit about Kenley Jansen and just booing in general. Some of this, you know, we've talked about this over the years with different players, and there's different reasons to boo different players. But when Kenley Jansen came in to pitch in the 9th inning on Tuesday night, there was some boos. It sounded like more on TV, I think, than it was. The people who were at the stadium, everybody I saw described it as a mixture of cheers and boos. You definitely heard the boos more on the TV. And, you know, and there were people upset about that, saying, how can you boo the best closer in Dodger history? You know, all that stuff. And, you know, questioning people's fandom, everybody's always looking for a reason to judge other people's fandom on social media. So I get it. And so I want to tell you my thoughts. First of all, you guys, if you've listened for a while, you know, I'm not a booer. I don't boo anybody. So no, I wouldn't have booed Kenley Jansen because I don't boo. I don't know if I've ever booed anybody at a baseball game. It's just not how I choose to interact with the game. You know, that noise, like boo, I don't feel like it's meaningful coming from me. And so I don't do it. You know, but when Kenley Jansen came in, my feelings were, I hope Kenley Jansen blows the save. That was the extent of my feelings. I want the Dodgers to win this game. And therefore, I want Kenley Jansen to pitch poorly. Not because I dislike Kenley Jansen, not because I don't appreciate what he did for the Dodgers over the years, but because I am rooting for the Dodgers and he is pitching against the Dodgers, and therefore I am rooting against Kenley Jansen. I think we can all accept, even the people who don't like the booing can accept, we're all rooting against Kenley right now. And that's okay. So the only question is, how do you express that I'm rooting against you? I think booing is a perfectly reasonable way to express, I want you to pitch poorly. That pretend that that's what they're saying. Instead of boo, that's not boo earns. It's, I want you to pitch poorly. You know, I think that's what people are saying when they're booing. They're not saying, Kenley, we don't like you. They're not saying, Kenley, how could you go to the Braves after all this time with us? They're not saying you're a traitor. They're saying, Kenley, I want you to pitch poorly right now. Which is a reasonable thing to want from the opposing team's closer. So when it comes down to, like, I think Kenley knows it's nothing personal. I don't think Kenley is upset that Dodger fans wanted him to pitch poorly. You know, somebody mentioned, well, Kenley got booed when he was the Dodgers' closer. Then he's not going to get booed when he's somebody else's closer? Of course he is. But this was, you know, when he got booed as a Dodger, it was, I want you to pitch well and you're not. When he's getting booed as the other team's closer, it's literally just, I want you to lose this game because my favorite team is the team you're pitching against. And I feel like people read too much into things. I think by the time you get to the major leagues, you understand fandom and all that. And so Kenley's not going to have his feelings hurt because Dodger fans booed him. He got a great round of applause, standing ovation, before the first game of this series, when they presented him with his little gift. You know, they did a little tribute to Kenley. Kenley knows that Dodger fans love him. You know, he's aware of the complicated relationship over the last few years. But when the time came for Kenley to pitch against the Dodgers, yeah, you know, it's no longer Dodgers legend Kenley Jansen. It's now Braves closer Kenley Jansen. And that's a different thing. And so while I personally wouldn't boo just because I don't boo, if I was the kind of person who booed, I might have booed Kenley. Although really the only, it's hard to say, you know, like I don't know what I would be like if I was the kind of person who booed. It's just not in my nature. And so I don't know what situations I would do it. Cause you know, it's like, hey, if I was different, how different would I be? But you know, like, If you're the kind of person who boos, if the way you express, I hope you do poorly, is by booing, then yeah. it's perfectly acceptable to boo Kenley Jansen. It would be perfectly acceptable if the Rangers come to town and Corey Seager comes up to bat in a high leverage situation. You know, Dodgers are up by one run and there's two runners on base and two outs and Seager steps to the plate. If the way you say, hey, Corey, I hope you get out is by saying boo, great, boo him. That works. You know, I don't think there's anything about loyalty or history or anything. It was all about this game right now that is being played right now. My favorite team is losing and I want them to not be losing anymore. Therefore, boo. So that's my thoughts on that. I don't have any issue with it. And Kenley, you know, for his part, he came in and he shut the door. He got Will Smith to fly out. He struck out Mookie Betts and he got Freddie Freeman to fly out. And, you know, great for Kenley. You know, maybe he'll get another save opportunity today. I hope not. I hope the Dodgers break out offensively against Charlie Morton and Kenley doesn't get to pitch again in this series. But if he does, you know, fans will boo him again and it'll still mean I hope you pitch poorly so the Dodgers can win. That's all it means. I honestly think, you know, when I mentioned on yesterday's show, if there wasn't a save situation in this series and so Snitker ended up using Kenley in a non-save situation, like if, you know, if the Dodgers won today and then they were up 7-3 tomorrow and Kenley just or Snitker brought Kenley in just to get an appearance, I think the reaction would have been different because then Kenley's failure isn't as important to Dodger fans because Dodgers already have the lead. But in this situation where the Dodgers needed Kenley to not succeed in order for the Dodgers to succeed, booing is perfectly appropriate. That's all I have for today. It's never fun to talk about a loss. I think it's important to keep perspective and remember that even the best teams lose 60, you know, at least 50 games a year, 60 games, sometimes even 70 games a year for a really good team. And for me, I refuse to get upset that many times in a year. You let the losses roll off, hope that they don't stack up too often, and hopefully, you know, hopefully Dodgers can start a new winning streak today. And, you know, the dreams of ending the season on a 159-game winning streak are out the window, but they could start a new one tomorrow or today and end on a 151-game winning streak. So let's make that happen. But until then, you know, losses happen sometimes. Hopefully the wins far outnumber the losses, and we can all be happy about that. That's about all I have. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. You also might want to check out Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK 56. I don't know what it is. I have to, you know what lock is. Look on your phone and spell out lock. That's the number. I have no idea where I am now. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and maybe it'll be better than this last part was.